Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you'll bow with us just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day you've given us. We pray for our country. We pray for those in places of power that make decisions. We know there's much division in our country, and some of it is not good. We pray that there be a return to those values and those morals that made this country great. We pray that our Constitution might stand as it was written and be interpreted as it was written. Father, we absolutely pray continuously for our brothers and sisters who fight off an evil enemy in Ukraine. Father, we are thankful to you that we live in a country where we do not face such dire circumstances. But we know that we could. And so we pray that your blessing would continue on America, but we return. We pray for a return to those values that made us great. Father, be with us this day and this hour during this meeting. We might make decisions that are pleasing to you and in the best interest of the citizens of Brown County. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you all. Any additions or changes to the agenda?
One addition that I don't see on here is the PACE initiative, the opioid settlement. We need to make a vote on that.
Okay, that's the
PACE initiative, opioid settlement from the council.
Okay.
Voted on the other night.
All right, we'll add that down here under other business. Okay. Okay. All right, any others?
This has been, the bike trail's been voted on and signed off. It's just our copy of the contract.
Okay. And then how about the Baker Tilly?
The Baker Tilly was held over from the last meeting because Ron wanted to look at it before we voted on it.
Okay. I brought that so we had the right number. But I hope you.
That's fine.
Okay. Have you all had a chance to look at the minutes and claims?
Yes.
Minutes, I guess I've not seen. Did you email us some minutes?
No, I thought I did, evidently I did.
They're in the folder, if you want to take them
in the folder. Okay.
There you go, sir.
All right, let me get a quick look here and see if this looks like what we did. Okay, I entertain a motion concerning the minutes and claims.
Motion to approve minutes and claims.
Just one second.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, motion to second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. Scenario. We're not going to be overpaying for a project which we had a concern about with the first go around when we received only one bid. These competitive bids are less than that first one was. bidder is at $1,060,000, which is down $150,000 or more from the initial bid. So we want to proceed with the project. However, we are in the process of working with Baker Tilly and specifically Caitlin Cheek to explore the possibilities for the funding of this project. And Ron and I met with her last Friday, and she is quite confident that she can come up with a plan to fund the courthouse addition without borrowing any additional monies. And I'm not sure exactly how she's going to do this. She wanted 2 weeks to look at everything and formulate a plan. I know that part of that could entail part of the ARPA funds, if any's left, the capital improvement loan of $3 million we took out a few years ago. There are also some other funds that may have some excess money that could be reappropriated. There is a possibility of slightly reducing some of the cash balances at year end in order to provide some funding for this project. We shoot for 15% cash balance at the end of the year in every fund in order to maintain a cushion, if you will, for expenditures. In her opinion, some of those could possibly be reduced to 12% instead of 15%, which would generate additional monies that could be used for courthouse projects. So she has asked for 2 weeks to formulate a plan. She will meet with us around the 15th of this month. And we will consider that plan, and then the county council meets on the 20th, I believe, of March, or thereabouts. And assuming that we come up with what I believe and the other commission believe is a workable plan, we will take that to the county council for final approval. Now, the question is there anything we can do today? Can we approve the awarding of this bid contingent on funds being available by March 20th? Or should we not do that? That's a question for Mike.
Yes, you can make a statement saying that you are approving a specific bid contingent on the funding and the discussion you're going to have on the 15th, or you can choose to wait until then. It's up to you.
Okay. I really feel like I'd like to let that low bidder know that they are most likely going to get the job. There is a limitation on the time we have to accept their bid, but I think we are within that window.
It was 60 days from
60 days
when it started.
Yeah. So I'd like to let them know that we do want to proceed with the project, and we'll be awarding it to them if we find the money. So should we make a motion to that effect and vote on it, Mike?
Yeah, that would be fine as long as you clarify that you already have that contingent on the discussion and finding the money. Okay, very good. As such, then I would entertain a motion.
All right, I'll make a motion to accept Building Associates of Bloomington, Indiana, their bid. They are the low bidder, contingent upon us securing the financing as you discussed by, you said, the 20th?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion to second. Any question or discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. I really would like to see this project go forward. I believe it's necessary. I believe it's a good investment either for the county. Will prevent us from having a possible major problem with security in the future, and even the possibility of some mistrials because of witnesses, jurors seeing people that they shouldn't be seeing as they're being brought into the courthouse. It's kind of a helter-skelter situation right now. You're bringing an accused into courthouse and parking lot and bring somebody out who's shackled or, you know, in a prison uniform and so forth, and the potential jurors see them. That's taboo. So we can eliminate that problem, as well as even probably more concerning is the security issue. Right now, a person could, in fact, enter the courthouse with arms unimpeded and gain access to the restrooms, the hallway area, the vault entrance, and so forth, before ever getting to our security officer. It's not a good situation. And heaven forbid, I don't want to say this too loud and give anybody any ideas, but we need to fix the problem. So we're doing everything we can to make that happen. And look forward to working with the county council on this issue as well. Okay. I have a few other things that probably fall in this category. I did receive a statement from Bank New York Mellon concerning the jail funding, the jail bond, loan, whatever you want to call it. I don't understand it, but there is like $282,000 in sort of a, some sort of an account with that bank that is our money, apparently. I don't know what it can be used for, if it can be, or anything about it, so I'm gonna get this to the jail building pulling corporation, and we'll probably work with them to get, you may know something, a legal opinion about all this. Maybe it's, what do you know, Julie?
It's basically the loan for the jail. That's what that's about.
Only?
But it's actually money that's accrued somewhere or another in the process of that bonding. That
Jerry, a lot of times when they do a bond, they will hold a partial payment just in case for some reason the agency would miss a payment.
That's what it is.
They have money to fill the gap.
That's
okay.
Exactly what it is.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
So I will. That's really the building corporations for view. So I'll get that to them and they can figure out what, if anything they can do with it or not.
Typically what will happen is once all the payments are made, either on that last payment, they'll reduce the payment or you'll get a refund at the end.
Okay. I saw that. I need to send it to somebody higher pay grade than mine. We also, Commissioners. Okay, fine. Work on that. I guess we probably need to put Kim. Yes. Kim Robinson with the Brown County Access. I think has some information and or.
I just talked to staff, but I also needed that.
Okay.
So
it looks like this.
Okay. I emailed you the 65-page document. It's a procurement policy that we need to get signed and turned into NDOT. We have a laundry list of things that we have to do now that we're a rural transit and we're on our own. So we have a lot of different documents that we have to do. So when I get those that need your backing, I'll get them to you. And I just brought you some stats to show what we've done the past 9 years since we took over Access. We have done a total of 711,000 miles from 2014 to 2022 and taken 45,000 trips with our county residents. We take them anywhere to Bloomington and to Columbus, to the doctor, to work, to get groceries, to get medicine, wherever they need to go. We don't charge anyone who is 60 or over for a ride. We get funding from Thrive Alliance and the Older American Title III money. So that covers anyone who's 60 or over. And we take vets to the hospital up in Indianapolis and in Edinburgh. We have a grant to help cover those costs, so. Yes?
You don't go to Indianapolis though, right?
We go to Rattlebush.
Rattlebush?
That's
VA?
Yes. So anyone that a vet that needs to get up there, we can transport you.
Is that the only place in Indianapolis you can go?
Well, we're going to try to keep it to like a 5-mile radius of that hospital. So that covers quite a few downtown, I think.
Okay.
We've had someone ask about another hospital up there, but if we're that close. Yeah.
I noticed, I didn't read all 64 pages.
Come on, Ron.
I did.
read through a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And I come up with this thing about, I don't know if I'm looking at it, but it also said I thought that you could look out for other opportunities possibly for the use of the vans. With the big eclipse thing coming next year, is there some possibility?
We can be, they're small. We may only hold 8 people, but we can be shuttles. You know, they're wheelchair accessible, so we can be used however need be used for that, for sure. Yeah.
I noticed that in there. It actually sounded like you could charge for it. You may not want to charge.
Probably wouldn't, no. Because whatever we bring in, we have to, you know, turn into NDOT and justify that. Then we get the matching funds. So we would just take it offline and just do it on our own. We did that with all the food. During the pandemic, we drove people to get their groceries during the pandemic. And
what kind of condition and years are the vans?
We have a 2017 Chrysler minivan or Dodge Caravan. We have a 2021 Ford Transit and a 2019 Ford Cutaway short bus.
Transit, is that where you haul like multiple people?
Yeah.
Are you planning on buying any new vehicles?
We put our name in the pot for a new vehicle with NDOT because there was like a 2-year turnaround. So they pay for 80% and we have to put up 20%.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
They said you've been doing this a while, that you know what you're doing.
I've been doing it for a while. But we just got cut loose because we were with Johnson County, so we were all underneath their umbrella as a rural and a urban transit. But now we are 100% rural and we're on our own. So it's been a little bit of a learning curve.
Is Johnson County done? They don't do the...
No, they are urban, so it's different funding streams. We're 5311 and they're 5310. Okay. That sounds like I know what I'm talking about, but I do, but no. It's a funding thing with NDOT and the state.
Okay.
There's someplace in there.
Yeah, the back, page 65.
Page 55?
65.
65, the back page, okay. All right.
And I'm sure we need to make a motion to vote on it.
I'd say so, yeah. So I would entertain a motion.
Motion to approve and move forward.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you, fellas.
Well, we appreciate what you do.
No problem.
All right, thank you. We'll get that signed. One of the copies. I'll put it in here somewhere. Yeah, I guess it's a city bay. It might be in there.
Yeah. Right. We'll get that.
Okay. Okay.
Candy Lewis next.
Okay. Another thing. Do we need Chuck?
And Chuck?
Do we need any discussion on this?
No.
Okay.
We don't.
$30,000?
It's not something for us. It's just, we'll discuss it. So that is for EMA, for them to get a grant.
Apply for
a grant. We just have to say it's okay for her to apply for a grant.
That's all
it is. Signed.
Yes.
There's no financial liability for us.
Okay. That's so they can apply for the grant.
So,
through the Brown County Foundation.
I'm not sure where she's applying for.
Yeah, I think it's through the foundation.
We typically don't have a problem with people seeking money that's not ours for purposes that would benefit us. I guess that's a nice way to say it. Okay, yes, they may apply for this grant. We hope they get it.
You're saying we don't need to make a motion for that?
No.
This is separate. Okay. Next, we have
Candy.
Yes.
Candy Lewis.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
I was here a couple months ago with Cambulus, with the, yes, with the CVB. I printed these. I know I've emailed them like 8,000 times, so I don't know if you need it. I do have them printed if you do need one, but this is just the proclamation that I wrote up, hoping to change the name for a day when the eclipse comes next year to Eclipse County. Again, that would be Monday, April 8th, 2024, and we really wanted to get that now so we can start planning with everyone kind of under that name umbrella, market it that way to residents and visitors. Just to let you know a couple things that we met with the local Girl Scouts yesterday. We're planning some stuff with them. We've met with the school, planning some educational stuff with them. So we really are under way of doing it, even though it is a year out. So hoping you guys are okay with this and we can get this signed and kind of get our artwork and stuff together and move forward.
So we're okay with it. I think, and I need to ask our attorney here, normally to change the name of the county, it takes an act by the General Assembly. And since it's just a marketing thing for one day, Mike, is this something we can do by proclamation just for one day?
I apologize, Chuck. You cut out there.
Okay, so this proclamation, you said it was General Assembly to change the name. We're not changing the name permanently. It's just a one-day marketing thing. So this is something we can do with proclamation, right?
You cannot change the official name of the county, but you can make proclamation for, you know, advertising it.
Right.
Yes.
And that's what we intend to do. Yeah.
Okay. So I think we're on good legal grounds.
Okay, perfect.
Change your name forever.
Yeah. No, I don't think that would be a great idea to change it to Eclipse County forever. But yeah, that's just following up on that.
I'd like to table it because I'd like to get some feedback from law enforcement and emergency services to also see if this is going to be a problem for them for coordinating. This is supposed to be like an extremely large, large event. The county's typically got 15,000 people in it. I've heard numbers go from 45,000 to 100,000 plus. We're literally going to be overwhelmed by this. We're going to have more police, we're going to have to probably have more fire, more everything. And since it's so far out, I'd like to see a little bit more thought and time put into it to see what the agencies that are going to be dealing with all these people have to think.
We're meeting with them next week also, so we're a part of all those discussions. My thoughts are too, they're going to come, like it's going to be here, like what you're saying, I mean the people are going to be here. Right. So we just want to make sure it's an organized, unified, efficiently run. I know Kim's a part of it too. I've talked to her a little bit about it. But with people on, we don't want people on highways, right? We don't want people causing dangerous situations. So hoping to work with everyone on it, we can all kind of be under that one umbrella and just know that we're all working together under that. Does that make sense? So visitors, residents, because we're going to have an influx of people, like you're saying. I mean, it's...
I'd just like to have more input on it. I mean, the other two commissioners are more than welcome to vote on it. But personally, I'd like to table until we got more input.
Mr. President?
Well, one thing is certain, reasonably certain, it's going to happen, whether we proclaim it or we don't. They've been pretty good about forecasting these things for thousands of years. So it's going to happen whether we do anything or not, and I'm probably sure that there will be people who will visit Brown County that wouldn't otherwise come to Brown County on that particular day to see it. Although it is according to the map I saw, the totality takes in a band of 100 miles or something wide, kind of across Indiana from the southwest to the northeast. You don't have to be just right here to see it. The actual center line of it goes just touches the northwest corner of the county. So if you want to be in where it's going to be the longest, you have to drive up to the northwest corner of the county. But here, Nashville will probably maybe be a few seconds shorter. So I don't have a problem with anything either way. I'm sure that law enforcement and medical people will have an increased role in their normal duties at that time because of this event. But we can't stop it. So I either entertain a motion or entertain a non-motion. Yes.
Well, you got one of each, so.
It's up to you.
We have a motion for and on the table.
Yeah, I would make a motion to go ahead and approve this. Ron has made a motion to table it, so.
You guys are going to leave it up to me, aren't you? Well,
and my feeling is on the area.
If it would not inconvenience you for 2 weeks?
I will be out, just to let you know. I am very pregnant, so I will be having a baby in roughly 10 days. But, thank you, very excited. But, I mean, if that is something, I'm sure I can send. Maybe I'll just have Kim do it. I'm just kidding. I'll send a representative. If we are meeting with emergency management and all of that next week, too, so... I understand. Our only concern is, from our perspective, we're buying a bunch of glasses, a bunch of things like that. We want to make sure that we can do that in time. And it sounds crazy because it's a year out, but they're already selling out of some of them. So we just wanted to make sure we can put our name and whatnot on it. So.
Or there could be a third option, I guess. If we could have a motion to approve contingent upon any objections from EMA, law enforcement, or other agencies.
I'm sticking with my original thought.
Sure.
Okay, so who made the first motion?
Ron? I made a motion to table it until we got further information from the emergency services.
Okay, so that's the one that's actually on the floor. We can't have another motion until we either approve it, disapprove it.
Fair enough.
So... I guess I would. Is there any further discussion?
Okay, I'll second Ron's to table it for 2 weeks.
So we have a motion and a second to table for 2 weeks. Any discussion on that? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None? Okay.
Get Baker Tilly.
Yes, of course. Yes, I will vote in favor.
Can I ask you the best way to follow up if it is not me, if I'm passing that information along? The best way to follow up with y'all in 2 weeks would just be...
You can just shoot us an email.
And just do it like that. Okay, perfect. I just want to make sure I give the correct information to who's taking over. Thank you.
I think there's a real high probability
sure.
that it will go through okay. So we'll give you a definite answer at our next meeting.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you. I'm excited about it.
It'll be great. Honestly, it'll be a fun event, no matter what. But
I don't, I've never seen a total eclipse. A lot of people, most people probably haven't. Last one we had was not quite total. It got pretty dark, but it didn't get laid together. So this will be an experience. Okay. We have before us board a renewal of engagement with Baker Tilly. This is a standard. Every year we have been renewing that, and I think personally, I think they've done a great job. I've heard no complaints against their performance or pricing or anything else, and so we'll need to vote to continue and sign this engagement letter for another year. Anybody have any discussion or questions about this? Baker Tilly does our financial planning for us. They look at a plan out 5 years out, and they're always available for consultation. As I said, currently we are currently working with them on finding funding for the courthouse addition, and they've been very good about that. So I entertain a motion for that renewal.
I make a motion to renew our contract with Baker Tilly.
I'll second it.
Motion to second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Okay, very good. Send that back to Julie.
We probably approved this in a public meeting with the funding from the opioid.
Yes.
Settlement.
Right. Brown County is entitled to receive a total of, at this point, $83,262.41 as part of the National Opioid Settlement. You may have read or heard about that. The major drug companies have agreed, I guess, through legal processes to provide this funding to mitigate some of their alleged wrongdoing in producing opioids and distributing them, maybe a little too freely. And so anyway, a deal was worked out and they're paying a bunch of money in to settle this. And Brown County was entitled to receive $77,000 for 2022, and we've accumulated another about $13,000 in 23. So it's a total of $83,262.41. And the Division of Mental Health and Addiction in Indianapolis, the Family and Social Services Administration has informed us that if we would agree to commit this money, that we could receive possibly a like amount from the state of Indiana to put in addition to this. So I feel like it's a no lose situation. We only stand to gain more money, which could be used for this worthy cause. So the county council, I think, approved this at their last.
County council did approve it.
Okay, and then the commissioner has been asked to also approve this. So we are in agreement, I think, that we should do this. We have a letter here that had to be signed by us, particularly me and the president, so that they could proceed with this application, which I think was due today or something. So we need to make this an official action of the board. I would entertain a motion to that effect.
Motion to approve the opioid settlement funds to be
granted.
Motion and second. Any questions or discussion? I first looked at this and didn't understand. I thought, well, we're giving the $83,000 away to somebody else. No, we're not doing that. We're simply volunteering it as a match, so to speak, with
$70,000 that we already have, and the next amount that we will get or receive.
Yes. Yeah.
$70,625.25 is supposed to be from 22, and my math's right, it was $12,037 for 2023. There's also, I don't know if I got this number correct, there's also like $30,000. Is there any?
There's $30,000 left.
Yes. Even? For discretionary spending?
I don't think it's even, but yeah, for discretionary spending.
Yeah, I wasn't sure on the even, or yeah, it's about 30.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have
a motion and a second.
Motion and a second. That was our discussion. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, moving right along.
You said there's nothing about this bicycle path thing we need to do today?
Yeah, that's, we voted on that, it's good to go.
Okay.
All we have is just a copy of the contract.
That's all. Okay.
Everything's been signed.
Okay.
Okay, that goes in this file, and we'll take it back.
All right, thank you.
Separate from the two.
That's why I have two other commissioners here to help me.
I don't know if I'm helping you or hurting you.
No, you're good. Thank you very much. Okay.
And the township harbor.
Moving on. Okay. County Council?
No. Harlan Pearson in North Hammond Township Fire Department.
Yes, okay. Hammond Township Fire Department. You're up next. Thank you.
I'll give you a couple of things first.
Okay.
Thank you. Just for the record, I'm with Fruitdale Volunteer Fire Department in my hand.
Okay.
We're representing the Fire Association.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
I put a bunch of questions at the very first one. I'll use yours here again. For the illegal burning and open burning, a lot of problems with them. What we're finding out is even though you have a ordinance, the county cannot just take and say, here's a state ordinance, boom, here it is. If it goes to court, it doesn't go through, it gets thrown out. But you've got to come up with your own. So you have to go through the academy instead of mirroring it, you have to make your own, if I understand it right. And you ask Thornburg, we already talked to there. several instances we've gone out, we have people in the county who do it time after time again. You go out there late night, early day, they light the fires up, they let them go, and they just go home. The other day, we had winds blowing 40 and 50, and they were blowing 110 yards across the lake into the woods in some of them, and then it was blowing down Point Town Road on the other one. We've got some people that live to the north up here who have cows, you can figure out what that is. And they set them on the backsides of the fields where you can't get to them, and just let them burn all night with the winds and everything else, and sometimes they get out of control, sometimes they don't. We try to warn them, and we try and do what the state statute says, but when we do, we get nowhere, because when it goes to court, the ordinance has no teeth to it. There's nothing we can do. So it has, something has to be brought up with you guys and the lawyers to make it where we can issue tickets or whatever. And we prefer if we call the county out, the county officer issues that ticket. It's like the fire department. You have two signatures to make it work. We'd rather have it that way instead of we don't want it just where we can go out and do it. We want an officer to tell them. A lot of times we have to call them anyhow because we get threats and everything else. If we step foot on the property, they're going to take care of us and whatever. He's had fingers on his chest, which isn't right. But we need some way from you guys to help us get some teeth to where if we have an officer come out and the guy's doing it or the person's doing it over and over, something can be done about it. You know, it's how many times do you go out? There have been several instances we billed for it, but when it goes to solid waste, it's up to solid waste whether or not to give us the money back or not, even though it says in that part that you guys come up with that we are to charge our charges. I put in there what the state has as far as the IC code, or the state marshals sent to us, to what we can charge for. It's the same that we charge for all the time, $250 out the door per hour for a fraction error for the trucks and stuff like that. We don't always get that. I mean, it's... You can send a bill and they don't care. How many times do we go out on the same addresses? How many times do we go places and, you know, we met at the driveways and if you step foot on my property, I'm going to have you arrested. But we were called out, we were dispatched out for the fire. We get there to put it out, but we can't put it out. So do we just go home and let it burn and get out of control? No. I mean, if it encroaches upon your property, then that becomes damage to you, you can sue for it. If we don't put it out, then we can get in trouble for not putting it out. See where we're at? We're in a no-win situation. Yeah, unless you guys can come up with something in your ordinance with teeth in it to back us, that's all we're asking for, you know. We came for the fire association. We had a meeting the other night, which was a really good meeting, but we're here representing them because we're representing all of the departments in Brown County to find out what we can do to get this problem taken care of. And it's we can't do anything on our side, if you understand what I'm saying. I mean, I gave you a lot of papers you can look at and go through. It shows the county ordinance, shows what the state ordinance says. And we wrote down some questions of, can you help us do this or can you even do this? You know, it's what are our legalities? Are if we go on the property, are we going to be arrested for trespassing? Now, it's supposed to be when you're dispatched out. But then again, you know, you can burn your own house down as long as you don't file for it for insurance. We can't do anything about it. We can sit there and have to watch it, which is unfortunate. But that's the way the law reads. But we have a lot more of the illegal burns and open burns. You can ask Jim. That's a lot of our runs in the fall and summer. In fact, we're sitting here while we're going, our phones are going off, and got one going on Richard's Road. So, you know, it's... What do we do? What can you guys help us do that we can rectify this situation? I mean, it's, we're at a standstill right now.
One of the major things is that all the departments in the county are all volunteer. So we're not really well funded as a career department would be. We're taxed, completely tax paid. So every time we have to go out, we expend money, time, wear and tear, and if you go out and you can't put out a fire, you also put the burden on your firefighters going, why am I even here? Why do I want to respond to the next, you know? So you have a lot of issues here that's underlying but are major. So the fire that he brought up a while ago on Hornetown Road, my department and his department, And Jackson was out there, we've been out there three times with that fire. The second fire, when we were out there, we had law enforcement come out because the owner was being very belligerent. He was in my face. We took an hour, the officer and I took an hour and looked up the ordinances and the laws. We couldn't put it out. So we all had to leave. We were called, but yet we couldn't put it out by the law that was on the books for them to read.
Did it get out of control?
No, not that time. But the next time we were out there, it had gotten out of control. The first time that we were there, we put it out because the law states that if you have heavy wind situations that can cause it to get out of control, we can put it out. The second one, there was no conditions environmentally or high winds or anything where we were legally able to put it out. So we just need a parameter to know. It had been going around where it had to be 10 feet in diameter, it had to be 10 feet high, so on and so forth. We don't have that anymore. It's not in the IC code.
Really?
Nope.
When did that change?
Very, very loosely written.
When did that change?
I don't really know.
We don't know. It used to be like that for years.
Yeah. I remember the 10 by 10.
Yeah. Well, we used to get, you asked Jim, we used to get, it was a different pamphlet. No problems, Jim.
Sure.
It was from IDA downtown, and it was about half that big, and unfolded it 5 times. Then they sent this out, and since we've got this out, it has your IC codes in there for some things, plastics and things like that. There's nothing about 10 by 10s anymore.
Nothing about 10 by 10?
10 by 10 by 10. They try and make that as big as one person can take care of if you're going
to
burn.
Didn't they have to have water sources on hand?
And it now says
can be attended and fire, be out in the dark. And
well, it doesn't have that in there. The
state
part is not.
The state doesn't.
The state doesn't even have the on be at night.
Yeah.
It does highlight it. It has to be attended, and it has to have adequate fire, be able to put the fire out. And other than that, that's about as strong as it gets.
I say we look into it.
Yeah, this is not a simple matter. And I believe, I could be mistaken, I know I am, and I think probably a lot of people in this county are unaware of what you can burn or can't burn, or if you can burn, how it has to be done. I know a lot of people at least used to have a 55-gallon barrel, and they would burn paper and stuff in that. And a lot of people believe that's legal. I don't know if it is or not. I think some clarification on this would certainly be in order. But I do understand your point. We ran into the situation recently, last year or two, on local ordinances. Our prosecutor is paid mostly by the state. Doesn't either have the authority or the time to prosecute local ordinance violations. You know, we had a situation with some pigs that were sort of being unmanaged and were out of control and not properly cared for, and people wanted law enforcement to go out and rectify the situation and prosecute these people. The prosecutor said, it's not my purview, basically. I don't know because he didn't have any legal authority or simply doesn't have the time. I know he doesn't have the time to pursue a lot of things because he has more than he can get done. And so that's still, I think, kind of hanging fire. But as a general rule, would you guys say that it's legal or illegal to burn paper or wood outdoors? Or
There are items listed through IDEM that you cannot burn, which is on the books. You can't burn treated lumber, you can't burn asphalt shingles, you can't burn anything that's asbestos, you can't burn plastic, anything that's varnished or painted or plastic.
Right.
There are things that's out there that IDEM does not allow you to burn at all.
Yeah,
in which case, we can determine, but that falls under the Board of Health.
Okay.
Okay, the other falls under solid waste.
Okay.
So it does in the IC code, it references a permit. But no one knows where the permits come from.
Is agriculture different?
Yes.
Farmers have legal rights to burn fields and brush?
Yeah. There's several different ones like that. Farm, agriculture, tree farm. The county highway falls under that also. You still have to have the adequate amount of fire prevention stuff there. You have to attend it, and there's, you still can't burn the stuff that I just mentioned from Ivy.
Yeah.
But you can burn natural products, wood, tree trimmings, vegetation, stuff like that, if you're falling under those categories that are exempt.
I noticed in Johnson County, I see them burning like great big piles, but they're usually out in an open field. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know.
Well, farmer can usually do that.
Yeah, but they still have to attend it.
Yeah. In Brown County, we have all these leaves, and if you're not on top of it, and the wind kicks up,
yep.
Just like out at the park last fall, you know. I mean, last fall it seemed like you guys was constant.
Mm-hmm. Well, even if we have a heavy rain event, and then have a high wind after that. If the high winds are adequately sustained winds are prevalent for a long period, it'll dry out the top vegetation. The ground may be wet, but the top vegetation gets dry again. People don't really realize that whenever they go set a fire out in their yard or field or whatever.
I've seen people just light it. I come up on the Embossing Overlook one time, and somebody had just lit a fire and thought they could keep up with it. And it's like, it's out of control. Everybody's stopping their cars, trying to get it stomped out, put out. But they just didn't realize the prep work. You know, you got to have a perimeter. You got to have your water. You got to be ready. You can't walk away.
Yeah.
I mean, education is needs to be taught.
Yeah, there. You can have you have a little fire going. If you have a cooler and two chairs and you're sitting there, I consider it a campfire. You take it away and leave it now, so it's a legal burn. That simple. I was going to say, if you look at 326.413 under your exemptions, and you turn to your second page, under section C, it says all fires must be attended all time during burning until completely extinguished, and then you also have to have them out before nighttime comes on the next page. Burning shall be conducted during daylight hours only. So.
Campfire is not included in that, huh?
The campfire is exempt.
Yeah.
Exempt?
Uh-huh. They have several, a few exemptions for stuff like that, like a barbecue. They're not going to send us out and have us put out your barbecue or your campfire, as long as it's not a campfire as big as this room.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. It has to be a containable campfire, normally a campfire ring.
Or if you're tribal Indian, you can have a fire as long as you have adequate fire protection. You have a fire as big as you want.
I just know that
same thing for three different types.
This goes to the April 8th issue coming up next year. We could really literally have an ice storm in April. It could be so dry that the woods get set on fire. We could have so much rain it could be floods. I mean, you just, tornado. You just got so many variables that could happen. It's just a lot to think about.
We're just hoping you guys can maybe come up with something to help us, or we can have something as a backbone to go off of.
If it's out of control, it's out of control.
Well, we do have that in there. That's already, if we deem it as going to be an emergency situation, we do have the right to put it out, even if it wasn't an ordinance. Under our normal purview as a fire department, if it's causing a problem that's going to burn a house down, let's say you're going to get to a house or whatever, we do have that right. But if it's not impinging on anything, but we see that it's going to be a problem, we need something to fall back on.
It's high winds, but it just hasn't got out of control yet.
Well, high winds is one of them that's included, but like the other night, I had to leave because I couldn't put it out because I didn't have the law to back me. The law, we read it, and we went over it for an hour with a fine-tooth comb and could not get a reason to put that fire out. But in the offing, there was a prediction of high winds coming later that day. I can't put it out on that type of situation. Although it could cause an emergency situation, it has not yet. So I couldn't put it out at that time.
And at that point, if it gets out of control, then the landowner that goes over and it burns somebody else's house?
Well, that's the law where if it gets off on somebody else's property, then they're liable.
There you go.
But then you're talking about maybe one or two departments out there, all of a sudden you've got to have four or five or more, which takes away from the rest of the county. And you all know how that goes. Cascades downhill and you have a fire. So if we're doing that and something happens over here, we don't have enough people to take care of that over there because we should have this taken care of to begin with.
I do agree with your attitude of having to educate the public. I do agree with that. But we do have to have something to educate them with. If we don't have this ordinance written properly, we can't say, this is the ordinance, this is the reason why we're educating you on this, this is the common sense, and this is the law.
Is there an ordinance in an adjacent county that seems to work for here too?
I haven't looked up theirs, I don't know.
It sounds like this is more than a simple matter, so I'm sure we will need to refer this to our legal department and see what they could recommend. Okay. I mean, the legislators sometimes create things that don't work. They pass a law. You can pass a law that says you can't do this, but if there's no penalty for it, you know, nobody can stop you.
Right.
It's like there are a lot of things like that where they pass laws and prohibit this or authorize this, but there's no provision, there's no punishment involved, there's no fine, there's no consequence for doing it, so therefore it becomes really a meaningless law.
Yeah.
So we don't need any more meaningless laws. So we will refer this to our legal department and see, at least we've started this conversation, and I would hope that at some point in time when we get this sort of brought together, maybe we could get the help of the local newspaper to help educate people on what they can and can't do before burning it. Because I know there's a lot of people that have no idea that you're not supposed to burn plastic bottles or tires or stuff, you know.
Right.
I mean, days gone past, and I'm not going to confess too much. You know, we used to use rubber tires to start brush fires. They burn hot, and they'll get it going, and nothing else would. That's where all that black smoke comes from, it fills the sky when you burn that tire. That's obviously...
I think I actually read in the state law one time, that you could use one or two tires to get a brush fire going.
No.
You don't ever remember hearing that?
Not in the law, no, I haven't ever read that.
That might be hearsay. I mean, there's somebody just saying they heard of it. It hadn't been a law for years.
I believe the IC code's a 96.
I used to be in the fuel business, and I had a fellow who cleared some land. He had a brush pile that was approximately 150 feet long, 30 to 40 feet wide, and 20 some feet high. He called me out, and he wanted me to put 100 gallons of diesel fuel on it, and I did. I rolled out the hose, and I hosed down his pile. And he wanted to light, and I said, no, not until I get out of here. I got back probably 300 feet from him when he lit it, and eventually it became so hot I had it back further away. Yeah. But he got his brush all burned. I guess that was better than a tire. But
no. We appreciate you hearing us.
Yes, okay, we'll definitely refer to legal and see what we can do.
If they need any more information from us, they can contact us.
Yes, okay.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay.
Not legal.
We skipped over mine.
We did. We skipped right over mine.
And I was thinking about that. We started talking about high winds. I know Mike has some report for us on the winds.
Bring it in.
Mike, it's your turn.
Okay, thank you. I'll give you a paper here to start with.
Thank you.
Okay, the good news on our 2022-2 road funding grant money. After the last commissioner's meeting, I've reported that we hadn't seen a lot of action. So on Friday, after the Wednesday meeting, I actually got an email from the state and I'll get a copy to the auditor's office also. We had a copy of the signed agreement back to us that had been e-signed from the state. It also gave a list of the next steps. So since we had already bid the projects out and awarded the project milestone, I was able to put all that information together. I just quit what I was working on and put it all together and got it back to them on Friday, the same afternoon. So that project is moving forward. The ball's back in their court. So the next step is we're waiting to get the purchase order. And then typically with the state purchase orders, once we receive that, they have up to 35 days to actually electronically transfer the money into the treasurer's office. So it is moving forward. So we should have the funds in plenty of time, you know, by late spring, early summer, to where Milestone can get started at a reasonable date. Hopefully, that's right, as soon as school's out, it's what we typically plan for. So that's good news on the grant funding project. The next one I have, and this will require a decision, this is also from the state. When they had originally contacted me, it's about they're going to do a couple of big culvert projects down below Story on 135 South. And in order to do that, in the two locations, they need to close the highway for up to 30 days apiece. Originally, they were going to do one this year and one next year. And then when they actually got me the paperwork, they've actually backed them off to where they'll do both of them in 2024. They'll do one in April and one in May. So their window is somewhere between April 1st and May 31st, but if they get done quicker, then they'll open it back up before that. So how that affects us is if you remember, we've done them before to where the state has to do an official detour on another state highway. But we all know that the local people do not travel that direction. They're not going to drive all the way to Columbus to go around, come back in on 46, so they will use county roads. So the state came up with a program many years ago to help if there are excess wear and damages to the county roads that we can file for reimbursement of damages. So I have the agreement for that project well, they list the DES number, the project number. So it's two small structure replacements, and they list the contract number on State Road 135 South. Between the periods of April 1 and May 31st, this will be the unofficial local detour. And then, like I said, if there are any damages, then I will document the condition before they start, or whoever's a representative of the county will document the condition of the road before they start, and then when they're finished, and then any damages occur during that time frame, we can file for reimbursement to have the state pay 100% to reimburse the cost of the damages.
So,
I remember a few years ago when they closed something down on State Road 135 South, everybody used Valley Branch.
Yes.
And they made that road go from 18 feet wide to about 35 feet wide. They were driving the side ditches. I mean, they destroyed that road. And we did finally get reimbursement from the state and we repaved it.
So make a copy for each of you.
Okay.
A copy for the owner's office. I think there's also these are the originals, so I need to have some of
these. Okay.
And it requires all three commissioner signatures.
Okay. I believe we can do that.
So yes, Valley Branch was a very good example. That was when they did the bridge by the concrete plant. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And they came in, it had been below freezing and snow on the ground the Friday before they started on Monday, and on Monday it was in the 60s. So the ground just turned to mush, and they threw all that truck traffic on Valley Branch and destroyed it. So I had to fight that one for about 2 years.
Yeah, I remember that.
But we ended up getting about $150,000 back, and then we went ahead and put that towards our paving project.
Didn't they do something like this on Railroad Road?
Yes. That's how Railroad Road got striped, was it became a local detour. So, yeah, I'd like to recommend that we go ahead and approve that with your approval and then sign all three copies.
Okay, we'll do that.
Have a motion?
Yeah. Second. Motion second. Any discussion?
Second.
Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Second.
Okay, while you're doing those, I'll just move on and give you a couple of little quick updates. I was been talking with Mike Moga on the attorney on that. We discussed a little bit at the last meeting about vacating the alley in Helmsburg. And Mike checked all that out, and we actually do need to do a public hearing. And I just was emailed back with him here right before the meeting. So there is a 30-day period there. So what I'd like to go ahead and do is go ahead and schedule a public hearing for the second meeting in April.
Okay.
And then we'll do the hearing, and then we can approve it then.
What are we vacating?
There's a piece of an alleyway right there, almost down to Lick Creek, where the bank goes straight up.
Do you know the dimensions of the alley?
I won't get that.
I think it's just four.
Split that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, we'll split it. There's three property owners, so it'll be split, so yes, we'll get the descriptions and we'll go with it.
There's none.
We need three.
The ones that are marked copies, you can keep for yourself in case you have any questions.
Copy.
So the ones that are not marked copy, if you sign those, get them back to me.
I need another one that's not marked copy.
Here, I'm sorry. Got it.
Okay. And then, yeah, related to tree damages, we were hit again Monday afternoon and had a lot of tree damages, so in the process of cleaning up, we've been trying to eliminate some of the dead trees and trees that are hanging over the road so they don't end up falling in the middle of the night and causing us to be out there working in bad weather and having to pay the guys overtime to go clean them up. If they go ahead and be a little proactive and take care of the dead ones during normal working hours, and we're there anyway cleaning up, so if we need to take out a couple extra dead ones, it's a good time to do it while we got the equipment there.
I agree.
And then the last thing I had for you is I was going to go ahead and give you a copy of the of our paving plan. And with the you can keep all those. And there on the since we've kind of got a handle on the grant-funded program, so as part of our five-year plan, the page that I highlighted there for you is roads that we had originally over the last couple of years projected that we should be able to do this year with local funds. So I went ahead and highlighted the mileage there. If we did the 11.65 miles at the, you know, our last average bid price was about $152,000 a mile, we basically need almost $1.8 million. So I will work between now and the next meeting to see if we can come up with that much out of our funds that we have available. And if we do, then we'll go ahead and start the process where we can bid those out and go ahead and get our local roads for this year, get those bids secured early in the season, so hopefully we can get a little bit better price from the contractors. So that's something to think about. If you look those over, or you know, if we need to have any discussions, we may not be able to do all those with the prices going up. Because basically when I put this plan together, we were still down about 125 a mile, 1,000 a mile. So prices have gone up, so we may not be able to do quite as many miles. But those are the ones anyway that we have currently we have in the plan. If we can come up with enough money, you know, last year we ended up doing about $3 million in local funds. So we'll try and see how much we can scrounge up for this year.
Okay, good. Question again. We need to get this on our website. I don't know if that's been done or not.
I haven't, but we'll get that. Yeah, we'll get it posted along with a couple of documents.
And, you know, there are only certain people who know how to do that.
Yeah. So, I think they're getting it now to where they can release it to where, you know, because I had Megan, when Megan was working down in the office,
yeah.
She had to where she did our new website.
Right.
So we could go in a little bit easier and post stuff. Before, it was very limited on who could get into it to post items into the county's website.
Okay.
So we can get it to where we can put it on our page, which is part of the county website, but
yeah.
it'll be under the highway department's page.
Yeah, I'd like to see that there for the public's information, you know, because I've told the people, what do I know when your road's going to be paved with the website? Well, then somebody said, not there, not the updated, not the most current.
And I'll give the newspaper credit, they've published it probably six to ten times over the last couple of years, so
exactly.
The information's out there.
Yeah.
It is good to look for, but we will get it on our website too.
Okay.
Mike, is this the 2026, goes out to 2026?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep.
Was that your question you had a little bit?
No. I'm curious, when we, on vacating an alley, legal, Mike mentioned you had to have a public hearing. And is the distinction on a public hearing that it has to be advertised in the paper?
Yes, that's why we need the 30-day window.
Okay, well, that begs the question when it gets back to the trail crossing on the railroad crossing. That wasn't advertised. That was, we've got to have a hearing to close an alley. Why didn't we need a hearing to close a railroad crossing?
No, we're not closing it. Well, it's, I guess it's just technicalities. It's vacating an alley. That there's a space where an alley was never built.
But we vacated a railroad crossing, and why didn't that require a public hearing? I guess that's my question for legal.
The same thing. When you're vacating this alley, nobody's using this. It's basically grass grown over anyway, so nobody's using it.
How do you know that unless you have a hearing? The whole point of the hearing is to find out who cares about that alley or the crossing. That's the point of these hearings. So how do you know that nobody uses that or has a vital interest in it?
Well, since that come up, I do have a question.
This again gets back to that was state directed, not something that we started. So
state had nothing to do with this. There's no paperwork that you have that comes from the state on any of this.
Yes, we did.
Oh, no, you don't. If you can produce it, I'd love to see it. But it's never been produced in any of the debate we've had in this room.
I have a question.
Not once.
I have a question. When Indian Hill, when it was closed, it's obviously it's been closed, whether you feel it was properly done or not, it's been closed. What was the condition of the bridge at the time? Was there an inspection on that concrete slab that said it does not meet requirements that people can't drive across it?
It's not officially a bridge. It's just a slab low water crossing, so it's not in our bridge inspection report. But it is in very poor condition. So okay. It is a safety issue for the county.
Was there an official?
The other thing that I would like to add is there's been a lot of train derailments. And the one in Ohio is really, the railroad situation's got me really concerned right now. That is at a creek, okay? And I don't know the condition of the railroad right there. If I know it's always been a strange crossing, you know. And I talked to somebody here a while back, and I was saying that I thought it would be easier to open the road up from the numbers we were seeing on what they wanted to open a pedestrian crossing up. I've seen numbers as high as 175,000. I've heard numbers as high as 400,000. Okay, just for a pedestrian crossing. And that's why I said, if you're going to spend that much money, why don't you open up the road? Well, since then, we've had a train derailment in Ohio that's just created a total nightmare. And there's so many chemicals on that track going down through there. If it hit that creek, and being, you know, Brown County is a destination. It's a tourist destination. It's just like the trail. People want to come. I'm not saying anything one way or the other. I'm just saying that everything has to be looked at and evaluated. And at this time, we're just stuck. Unless somebody's got some information to enlighten us and prove to us that crossing is 100% safe and they're ready to go up against the railroad. I know the guy in the mayor of that town over there in New Palestine said, you know, there are 4,700 people in the town. And they said, there's no way we can fight the railroad. So, and I've read your paperwork, and I see that you got, you know, state senators and everything. They need to come and explain this to us, how we could possibly proceed with everything that we're facing.
Are you asking us a question?
I got it.
I want the state representatives to come to us and explain to us how we would fund this and how we would feel safe opening that back up. How do we fund it, and would it be possibly to be safe, and are we going to have to go into litigation with the railroad? We can't afford that.
Just to take up your statement for a second, and you can silence me anytime you deem it appropriate. If you're stating that you think you have to go into litigation with the railroad, why? The railroad's never been in this room. The railroad has never made a case that they have a litigation to proceed with. Why would you even think that's possible?
Because if we go trying to open it back up, we're going to have to involve the railroad.
Do you believe that?
I believe that. I believe if we open that road back up, I know the county commissioners are over the road. that we don't have the ability, not going to go in there and start laying the section to go over the track. I don't see us doing that. Am I missing something here?
Why would you think you had to do that?
Pardon?
You have to have a permit to do that.
And who does that?
We'd have to follow through the railroad.
And the railroad would have to do it?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm willing to look at it. I'm just saying, there's a lot of obstacles to overcome.
On what basis would the railroad object to that crossing being open?
Pardon?
The railroad has to have a valid agreement in place. There was no hearing. You do not have a valid agreement with the railroad. They are up a creek. The county is not up a creek. You simply have an invalid agreement to get rid of. This has been clear from day one. The reason you're holding a hearing for this alley, however small and insignificant it seems, is because it's important to do that. It's your due diligence. The due diligence was never done in closing that crossing. So what do you think you have to worry about? What do you think you have in your hands with that agreement? If it was done outside of state statutes, you have a handful of nothing. So the question is, what would the railroad do if you decided to take that handful of nothing, put it aside, and reopen that crossing? Are they going to litigate about nothing? The fact that you have this agreement in place, or pretend to have it, is amazing. This has gone on for 3 years.
I'm not pretending anything, sir.
What do they have?
I believe that if you want this to come before the commissioners, okay, if you want us to do this, you want us to have an open hearing.
Oh, no.
You want us to redo it and have an open hearing.
Fix it. Just fix it. Just fix it.
Now, wait a minute. I'm telling you, if you want to have an open hearing right now and document it, they're going to close your road, sir.
Who is?
They're going to close the road. County commissioners will close that road. Strictly from the liability issue. I believe that is what would happen. I can't say what either one of these guys are going to do.
You've got crossings all along that railway.
Pardon?
You've got crossings all along that railway.
Correct.
There was that
particular crossing is not normal. If you've ever been out there, you know that crossing is not a normal crossing. And it's arched up high. And if something, I've thought about trying to open it and putting signs up saying trucks can't go up on that road. I've tried talking, and at this point, I think we're at a standstill. If you think you guys need to take legal action on it, probably that's where we're at. I can't speak for these two guys.
Let me just say this: it's not a simple matter. We do have. Continued advice from our legal counsel concerning this situation, and we will follow their advice. But just a couple of comments about railroads and so forth. This train derailment in Ohio certainly raised awareness. A very bad situation. I got a telephone call followed up by an email from an individual constituent who informed me that they're planning on bringing part of this. The water that was used to put the fire out to Rochdale, Indiana, and injected into a deep underground well. This person is against that and feels that our state officials should be against it, and felt that the county commissioners should make some kind of statement about this in opposition to it. I'm not about to make any kind of statements here without legal advice. It does concern me, though. A lot of people believe that if you inject a toxic waste into a deep underground well, that it eventually will find its way into the water table and poison water. People may eventually wind up drinking or using for other purposes. So it is a very important, very critical issue, and I guess I would encourage people to contact their representatives at the state level, federal level, about this issue, to make sure if it happens and it is upheld by some good scientific principle and experience that this did not create a problem. It's 53 miles from the edge of Brown County to where they intend to inject this water. I'm not a scientist, and I'm not a lawyer, but I'm concerned about our environment. The other statement I'd like to make is that I believe there's a lot of inconsistency in how the railroad and NDOT handles these crossings.
I pulled off to the side of the road, walked, got out, walked, took pictures of the existing pedestrian crossing. I'm going to call it pedestrian crossing because people walk across it, they ride bicycles across it. At Columbus, Indiana, they redid the entrance to Columbus, created this big new overpass. And the trail that comes from the west side into Columbus mirrors the highway from I-65 into Columbus. And where the old highway crossing was, the trail also crossed there. What they have done, since there's no vehicular traffic there, they simply left the trail there. You can walk or ride your bicycle across the railroad track. And what is there is a simple set of cross arms. There is no pedestrian crossing there. I mean, it's no different than a road. You got two arms that come down and the lights flash and the train comes. That was just done in the last couple of years. Now, why they were not required to put in this fancy crossing that we've been hearing about that costs so much money, where you have to go through the turnstiles and look down the track this way and this way, they didn't do it there. Well, I don't know.
A lot of that has to do with the topography. It's over there, it's flat. You can see we don't have the big blind hump up and over, and it's all an issue of sight distance and safety.
I'm sure somebody's justified it some way or another. But it seems inconsistent to me. You have to have a railroad pedestrian crossing here, if you don't there. I don't know. Yes, Randall.
I don't want to debate it anymore. I did not expect this debate tonight or these questions. However, I am very grateful that your council has decided that a hearing is needed prior to vacating that alley. I think it's a sincere attempt to work the law the right way.
We certainly will follow their advice. We, as council commissioners, board commissioners, intend to follow the law as best we know how. We make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. They put erasers on pencils. People make mistakes. They make correction for the same reason. We all make mistakes. And we want to try as best we can to follow the law and do what's in the best interest of the citizens of Brown County. Beyond that, we'll follow legal advice and do what's right and what to do in our power to do so. But thank you for your concern. Another question?
Just to follow up on Mr. Magner's point about the wind damage cleanup. Nate Nichols, resident of Kelly Reed Road, Camp Powell-Wopek on Clay Lake Road. I spoke to you yesterday, Mr. Sanders.
Yes, sir.
I left a message for you, Mr. Magner. I have not received a call back. Highway Department came in yesterday morning without notice, without warning, and proceeded to, for lack of a better word, destroy the north and south side of Kelly Reed Road. Hundreds of trees pushed over, pushed down, dug up, uprooted. Dogwood trees, redbud trees, mature 16-inch black cherry trees, immature maple trees. I am not joking when I say hundreds of trees. We were not contacted as a landowner that this was going to take place. The road had been cleared by the power companies to come in and access. They brought their equipment in so they could clear or restore power. The road was perfectly accessible. It was, when I happened upon their machinery, he was already done. Without contact to say we're going to come onto your property, we're going to remove your property, we're going to destroy your property, we are looking to come to some sort of an agreement on how to rectify this situation. It could be, I understand, the guise of preventative maintenance, but not, there were two dead trees that they pushed down. The two dead trees that they pushed down, I had flagged and contacted the Highway Department about 2 years ago. I was informed by Mr. Magner that they are not responsible for removing trees, and that I would need to call a tree company to remove those trees. So the idea that they're removing hazard trees was a surprise.
I'm sorry, sir, for the record.
Yes, sir.
Could you state your name?
Nate Nichols with Nichols Family on Clay Lake Road.
Okay.
And top of it. I've also spoken to Mr. Magner in the past. They did the same procedure right in front of our summer camp, and I informed him then that we were displeased with it. He made sure that they would take care of it and clean it up. That's never happened. I had told him that we did not want that type of tree removal on our property. I mean, we're talking 10, 20, 30 feet off the road. This wasn't one or two small trees, hazard trees. This was widening the road.
Okay, sir, it's my understanding that you have threatened litigation.
I did not. I talked to Mr. Sanders, and every option's on the table as far as a solution for the situation.
Okay. I want to hear both sides here.
What I remember,
not litigation mentioned in the conversation.
What I remember,
among other options.
What I remember you saying, I said, what would it take to make it right? And you said thousands and thousands of dollars. And I said, are you talking about litigation? And you said, that's where it's going to end up.
No, that's not what I said, sir. I apologize for the misunderstanding, potentially, but I said every option is on the table at this point, and I would like to come to an understanding and reach a solution.
I don't remember you saying all options are on the table. What I remember was, and I have a pretty good memory, was when you said you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yes.
And I said, are you talking about litigation? And you said that's where it was going. And I told you at that point that I was done talking about it. Is that fair?
No. Just to be clear.
Did you understand what I just said, though?
I also recall you saying earlier, I'm very old. So,
oh, please.
If we want to talk memory, we can talk memory.
My memory's fine.
Sure, so is mine.
I'm already thinking I need to go home and dig through my records and see if I can find a little pamphlet where I thought I saw that. My memory's fine, sir.
I did.
Okay, let's stop right there, okay? If there's any possibility of you are threatening litigation, we cannot talk to you.
I'm not threatening litigation. What I came to
you referred to litigation.
I referred to
conversation.
All options are on the table to solve this,
including litigation,
including discussing.
Okay, we can't talk to you. We're done. No more conversation. We will turn this over to our attorney, and your attorney can deal with our attorney. Okay. Thank you. And have a good day.
I appreciate your time. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, moving right along. Is that the train deal we're able to talk about? We have anything else besides legal? Left one over the chin. I think I have maybe one more thing. Yes. We'll just discuss this a little bit, but I don't think there's anything we're going to do. The town has proposed putting stop signs at the end of Nashville on Helmsburg Road. I don't know where the county road ends and the town begins, but you may know that.
Basically the center of the little creek there, Jackson Branch.
Santa Creek is the line.
Yeah. So if they, yes, they first proposed doing a stop, three-way stop in town. About a half block up in front of the apartments.
Yeah, it's town.
And they got complaints at their meetings over that. So then they contacted me and wanted to know if we would be willing to do a three-way stop at Jackson Branch. So what I told them was in order for us to do that, it would require an ordinance both from the town and from the county. Because in order for us to have a stop sign, we have to have an ordinance that makes it legal to have a stop sign to where law enforcement can enforce it and write tickets if somebody runs a stop sign. So the only way that we could agree to do a stop sign, which we're still in discussion, would be for both the town and the county to do separate ordinances, making that a three-way stop with basically that then the county would be responsible for the two legs. There's already a stop sign on Jackson Branch, but it would be stopping Helmsburg Road in both directions. So the town would have one sign, we would have the other. So it's a matter of whether, you know, what I heard the initial comment was, is why they were wanting to do that was to slow traffic down coming into town. It's already posted 20 miles an hour. And my first comment was, if you want to slow them down, put one of your town police officers out there and write some speeding tickets and that'll slow them down. But they would prefer to do a stop sign. So that's kind of where we're at in discussions, and you know, we need to be able, we would have to do, either accept their traffic study or do a traffic study of our own to justify putting in a three-way stop at that location, and then we'd have to back it up with a county ordinance to make the sign legal.
Yes, I understand that we cannot put a stop sign up or change the speed limit without doing a traffic study, as a general rule.
As a general rule. There are some limits we can do on speed limits, but as a general rule, especially with regulatory signs, with stop signs or yield signs, we need to study those and have an ordinance to back them up.
I haven't been out there lately, and I haven't been paying attention to the weather. There is a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit sign on Helmsburg Road. Is that correct?
Yes, it actually, there was an older sign that's actually, it's technically, it's on the county side, but it goes along with the fact that they have it posted 20 mile an hour in town.
Okay.
So it's kind of like an advance warning, but it really, it doesn't have the advance, it doesn't say a head on it, it just says a 20 mile an hour. So really their ordinance is just, would just be within the town limits, it's 20 mile an hour.
It's alleged that 20 mile per hour speed limit on the Helmsburg Road is not enforceable because it's not backed by an ordinance by the commissioners. Do you know if that might be true or not?
That we need to look at, need to verify all of our ordinances to see what we actually have on the books.
The concern that I've heard is that there would be a problem if they put a stop sign at Jackson Branch and also one at Edge of Town, because they're almost right together.
They would do one or the other, not both.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got correspondence from the concerned individual that was opposing that situation.
Yeah.
And I can understand that, because you've got two stop signs within two or three car lengths.
No, my understanding is if we would agree to do Jackson Branch, then they would not do the other one. Because that was the stuff, to give you a little more background, the town originally contacted LTAP up at Purdue, our local transportation assistance group, and they sent their traffic engineer down, and their original comment was they thought the appropriate place would be to do a three-way at Jackson Branch. Well, then the town decided that in order to keep it all within the town, they would have to move it in order to make it within town limits, because they have no authority on the west side of Jackson Branch, which is county.
Okay.
So that's why they proposed the first one at the condos, and then they got a lot of pushback. So then they decided to table that one and then contact us to see if we would possibly go along with doing the three-way at Jackson Branch.
I personally don't see any problem with a three-way at Jackson Branch. It might slow people down. I mean, if you got to stop up there, then you're probably not going to be going 50 miles an hour approaching that intersection. Mm-hmm. It would be already slowing down. So whether the speed limit sign is a point or not, I don't know.
It needs to be changed to an advisory sign and not an actual, the speed zone.
Okay.
You know, now, if we were going to go ahead and create a speed zone, then we would need an ordinance to, a county ordinance to back that up.
Yeah, it's like on state highways, there can be, there's a curb coming up and there's a yellow sign that says 40 miles per hour.
That's an
advisory. That is not something you could be arrested for going 41.
Right.
It's an advisory sign.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So if that were a yellow sign that said 20 miles per hour,
or if it's a 20 mile an hour ahead,
yeah,
to where the zone actually starts when you hit the town limit.
So ultimately, we need to do whatever we need to do to make this thing come out. I think there is a legitimate concern about having a stop sign at Jackson Branch due to the speed that people do come in on Helmsburg Road, and the fact that it is a fairly well traveled intersection.
Yeah, it's one of our heaviest little traveled roads.
I guess we'll kind of wait to see what the town wants to do.
Yeah, I'll get in touch with them again and see if that's their final decision on where they would like to go. And then if they do, then we'll need to do our end and see if we can back it up and make sure that we have our paperwork in order to make it enforceable.
Okay. Keep us up to date on that. I do want to work with the town. We're not enemies. We're friends. We're right here. We're all in this together. So
We've made a lot of strides in working together with them on our interlocals, you know, snow plowing, and, right, you know, they're buying sand or salt from us, and some other things, so we're working together well.
Okay, good.
And we should, but, you know, we're all taxpayers, so we'll have common goals, not fighting against each other.
Yeah, okay, very good.
A lot of taxes.
We'll discuss bids on this, or we have to, I think we have to, it's less than 50,000. Yeah, okay, we'll get that later. Okay, I think other than that, Mike, do you have any comments on anything today for us? Words of wisdom?
I'd like to move this comment, tell me this stuff about the burning fires and the ordinance and how that got, I'll out again.
Okay. Commissioner, do you have anything else?
I had something to say about the exchange with Nick Nicholas just now. I never heard him mention litigation at all, and I just think that the tone...
I asked him if he was talking litigation.
I didn't hear litigation at all, and I just think the tone was a little bit forceful. We should let him finish talking before we shut him down. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Well,
I'd like to add to that. I was the one that asked him if he was talking about litigation. And he said, that's where it's headed. And that's when I said, I'm not talking. And he says, he never mentioned litigation. He's correct. I was the one that mentioned litigation. And he said, that's where it's headed. Upon that, that's when I said the conversation's over.
Okay. Well, all I know is that if someone does, in fact, threaten litigation, then we do not talk to them any further because it now is in the hands of our legal counsel. I didn't mean to prematurely shut him down, but it appeared to me that he had at least implied that this would wind up in litigation, or could wind up in litigation. So, be on the safe side. Mike Mogan, correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct. If there is litigation being thrown, then yes, you did the right thing.
If he hadn't have said that's where it was heading, I would have continued to talk to him as long as he needed.
Okay, my job is not to offend anybody, and I certainly don't believe in allowing people to talk and express their opinions in these meetings. As in some counties, they don't allow any public participation, and we're not legally required to, but I'm not going to take that position. I think the citizens have things I want to hear, okay? And I'll give them the opportunity to, but I do not want to compromise our position in a court of law by talking out of school. I apologize if I was wrong. I've been wrong before. Okay. Anything else? Come before you? Yes, Tim.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I got a question. It's on the county wastewater master strategic plan. When we talk about the county comprehensive plan, you know, you've heard me at speak before about 12 pages, kind of generic. I could argue for a project, make pretty good arguments for or against a certain project. But if we were to upgrade the comprehensive plan, that's about a $50,000 bill, I think, is what OCRA identifies as a funding thing. And it requires public hearing and public meetings and to get people's buy-in on that plan, because the comprehensive plan is the voice of the citizens as to what they want and do not want when it comes to any kind of development. And then that drives zoning, and zoning impacts your tax base on the kind of zoning you're going to allow. So on the county wastewater master plan, over $100,000 was spent on that plan along with the water study. And that comprehensive plan is independent of the comprehensive plan. I don't see an alignment. If we're going to suggest that level of change on the entire county, it is independent of the comprehensive plan. So I don't know on Mike Moga when it comes to, you know, when you start making development decisions on a plan that wasn't approved by elected officials at public meetings, what the issue of that would be. And so I attended the joint meeting last night of the two boards, and we're looking at phase one, just phase one of this project that runs from Lake Lemon to Woodland Lake
including Bean Blossom, we're looking at $60 million for 800 customers. And we've got, I think they identify 8,000 septic systems within the county. So if you've got 8,000 septic systems that you want to phase out with sewers, if that's the plan, how do we go from 800 to 8,000? What's the plan? Well, we spent over, the taxpayers spent over $100,000 on that plan. Initially, there was going to be a public meetings to discuss the plan by the authors of those plans. There's the author of the water study, the author of the strategic plan, I think that's Miller, or whatever. And so then it was decided by the board that they weren't going to have those public meetings. I would suggest for the elected officials that you direct that we do have public meetings on that strategic plan, because that impacts the entire county. There is a correlation to the comprehensive plan, but the two don't sync. There's not much in the comprehensive plan that talks about countywide sewers. So there's a huge gap. And what happens with that strategic plan, that drives the applications for funding, those PERs. So Helmsburg will have two PERs, the county will have one PER, and those do require a public hearing. But those PERs are based on that county comprehensive, county wastewater strategic plan that was never introduced to the citizens so they could ask direct questions regarding the plan and the impact it could have on them and when it would impact them. And so to have an elected or an appointed board making these kinds of decisions in the absence of elected officials, I just don't think that's a smart public policy. So all I'm asking is that you direct your appointees on that board to schedule public meetings of the authors of those two studies and allow citizens the opportunity to ask questions. That's it. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, certainly my position is before anything would move to actually undertake the project, spend money, I would want public hearings, whether they're required or not. I don't think there's a problem with having too many public hearings. There's a problem with not having enough. And that's one problem we've gotten into with the railroad crossing. There should have been a public hearing and there wasn't. I was wrong, along with a couple other commissioners. We just didn't realize the entire scope of what was happening at the time. I didn't even know the trail existed when we closed that crossing. And that's ignorance. I profess, I'm guilty of ignorance, nothing else, but I'm guilty of a lot more things. But nevertheless, the board with the wastewater, their plants out here, have been working on this project for several years. It's not come to a point where we've had to make a decision as commissioners about it. The board has a lot of authority on their own, even though we appoint them. It's the way with many boards. The Board of Health in Brown County, we appoint members of that. But that's about all we have. We can't go to the Board of Health and say, do this, do that. If we don't like what they're doing, we have the opportunity to replace it, just sort of like the voters. If you don't like what I'm doing, you vote me out next time if I run. So, I want as much transparency and a consensus for what we do. I know there are a lot of people who need it. There are some people who don't. Maybe a lot that don't. But it hasn't really come to us yet to make a decision about it.
Doesn't have to, Jerry. That's the problem. You can direct, though, that plan be discussed, presented at a public hearing. You can direct that.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys, between the ARPA funds and general funding, over $1 million have gone to both Helmsburg and Brown County Regional Sewer District. And so you authorize that funding that comes with a price tag, and all you're asking is for a public meeting by the authors of these studies to present their case, to allow people to provide input. Do you have to do that? No. I don't think that's sound public policy, because you represent the voters, not appointed board members.
True.
And you can certainly choose not to do that as well, but that's going to come back to haunt you. Because when you start reaching out to 800 people, many of whom have a functional system and don't want to be forced on that, when you reach into pocketbook issues and half the counties and low to moderate income, and you reach out and touch their wallets, guess what? They're not, they're coming to you. They're coming to you. And that kind of conflict, those kind of issues, I just caution you, they're extremely sensitive, and leads, it can lead to conflict. And I'm just saying, hey, best to prevent that by over-communicating as much as you can.
Okay. I thank you. Appreciate your input.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else? I would entertain a motion.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Motion to second. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all for coming today in person, those who have joined us via the internet as well.